Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us for part 3 and the conclusion of just an absolutely fabulous interview with Dr. Candace Campbell, a.k.a. Florence Nightingale. Amen. Now, if you missed any of the prior 2 episodes, you need to go back and catch up. We covered so much information on her topic of discussion, which is improv to improve your leadership team. Improv to improve your leadership team. Praise God. And folks, I'm telling you right now, that does not mean you got to go be a stand-up comic. All right? It means you have a plan, you work the plan, but you adjust the plan on the fly as you go and make your team better, make them more responsive, give them opportunities to improve themselves by improvisation along the way. Amen? Now, I have to put this in here. As this episode is being released, Candy is on her own production of just off Broadway. I call it a Broadway production, but it's just off Broadway, where she is in her alter ego, I guess you could say, of Florence Nightingale. And folks, if you are in the New York City area, you need to go drop down the show notes, click the link there for your tickets, and go see her. It's just an absolutely amazing presentation, and you're going to get a lot of it. And support her in this. Amen. But right now, we're going to jump back into this interview, the conclusion of which has been a 3-part interview series, and it's just been so awesome. It's hard to believe that it's coming to an end. Amen. But let's go ahead and back into the interview now with Dr. Candace Campbell.
Well, you know, my management style, because I was, you know, 18 years old, boom, into the military. 4 days after graduation from high school, I was at basic training, and I loved it. That's all I ever wanted to do. And, you know, I haven't been groomed in the military leadership styles and principles. And then after that, became a police officer or retired, you know, and using the same concepts. You know, it boiled down to, you know, delegated authority. You know, here's the mission. You know what to do. Go do it. Get it accomplished. Right. And but not in the general George Patton sense of, you know, what'd you do? And slap the guy, you know, type thing. You know? But, you know, there were certain things, though, through training that you know today, you know the steps, you know, you know that the supplies are going to be, you know, how to coordinate all that stuff to make sure that everything arrives at the right time, at the right spot, so you can accomplish the mission. And you always knew how to organize and get things to where they needed to be done so you could do the job. But there is always, and I'm emphasizing with quotes, always something that did not go according to plan. Always. Never. It never worked perfect ever. But someone, you know, didn't arrive. Someone was late. They were, you know, called out, whatever. And we coined a phrase back in the 80s that was adopt, improvise, and overcome. And because we're talking about improv, that's just stuck in my mind.
Perfect.
Adapt, yes. Improvise, and then overcome. And that basically means go with the flow to accomplish the mission. It also meant to think, as you said, outside the box when things didn't go as planned. And the mission was still there. It had to be accomplished. It had not changed. The things still needed to get done and finished on time. In some missions, if it didn't happen, people could actually die, right?
And absolutely.
In some cases, the least likely person may have an idea that saves the day. You know, this, you know, the officers and the NCOs are huddled. What are we going to do over here, over here, over here, and over here? And this little PFC snuffy sitting in the back smoking a cigarette. Well, we could always use that truck over there. And everybody looks, good idea. You know, type of thing. You know, it wasn't the truck we wanted. It wasn't as big as, but let's go. You know, it's amazing how someone, you're so focused on the problem, you don't see the solution.
Exactly. And you know, you just said, with that story, it reminded me of two very important parts in life and work. And the first is saying the what if sort of thing, as in your example, this least likely leader or whomever, a person on the team mm-hmm. said, what if? And that's what we coach our leaders to, for everybody to say, what if? But here's the key. If you don't feel free enough to say right. something, you know, to speak up without fear of retribution, and this is huge, and it's not just healthcare. It's every business that is afraid of a bad outcome. Now, that could be in finance. It could be in healthcare. It could be in the military. Risk averse is what we all are. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't create a business without having the opportunity for gain and the opportunity for disaster. It's, I mean, and some, like you say, some disasters cost people's life. Yeah. But this is, it was very interesting that in healthcare, and I'll speak to that as an example, right around the turn of the century, we can say that now, the what used to be called the Institute of Medicine, which is now the National Academies of Medicine, it was IOM, now it's NAM, sponsored a study because they had, you know, they have different white papers that come out. And during one of those, they realized when they drilled down into the root cause analysis of why were medical mistakes happening? Why did somebody's left leg get amputated, but it was the right one that was the problem? You know, these kinds of awful things. Why did this happen? And what we find is that so often a person on the team who was not in charge thought, that doesn't seem right, but the fear of retribution or looking stupid, they didn't say anything. They didn't act on their hunch. They didn't say anything. And so much so that in 2009, they came out with another call to action, and it was the speaking up. It was, you know, that everybody, especially nurses, because nurses are the largest part of healthcare, should be speaking up. But we can translate this to everybody. The funny thing, though, Bob, is that after that was done, they then launched numerous different programs to get people to speak up. There was assertiveness training, which has been around, you know, for a while. There's all different ones. But now in the latest, just before COVID, the latest analyzing of how many problems, medical problems, deaths, blah, 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 the numbers haven't really changed. Mm-hmm. So there's not a really good effect because you can know you should speak up. You can even have the language. You could be taught the phrases.
Right.
But if you're afraid of what's going to happen to you, you won't do it.
Yeah. Amen. And that goes not just for the workers, but the leaders. I mean, in the first section of your, I think it's near the first section of your book, you talk about risk being imperfect. And that's something I have seen many leaders avoid at all costs. They not want to be considered imperfect. They want to be considered perfect. You know, if they're not perfect, that's somehow going to make them seem weak and ineffective. What do you share about that in your book?
Well, actually, I don't mention Jesus in the book because this is a secular book.
It's a business book. Yeah.
But when you know you and I are talking about that, I will say that Jesus can look perfect, and we look up to people who have done a lot. As Christians, we look to him as perfect because he is, and he's the king. But also noting that the person that he picked to be a leader, Peter, was clearly imperfect. That he picked David to be a leader, another literally imperfect leader. Everybody he picked were just folks, and that were, but we learn if we focus on him, and in my book, what I say is if we focus on the principles, which are selfless principles, they're focusing on the other person, asking the what if questions, being helpful, you know. And here's another one. Doing your best to silence what I call the inner editor.
Yeah, that was good. That was my next question. Share what you mean by that.
Well, you remember probably growing up, I don't know about you, but I always remembered there was one little angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other shoulder. Mm-hmm. And the inner editor is just that voice that is going to discourage you, dissuade you as for speaking up, or just for having a thought or taking the next step. Or talking to the person that you think, oh, they don't probably like me because whenever I see them, they're, you know, frowning or whatever. Mm-hmm. And not knowing that we can't read other people's thoughts. And Right. Maybe that person was just thinking hard or frowning because, you know,
indigestion.
Their knickers are in a twist or indigestion. Yeah. You know, you don't know. But that we have to be adventurous and silence that inner editor. I don't know. Sometimes I even name my inner editor and tell him just to go lie down. And here's another thing. As a Christian, when I get those negative thoughts, like when I started arguing so many times with the Lord, oh, Lord, you know, I can't go to film school. I don't have any money. I got, you know, kids that need my attention. And, you know, again, he always said, if you'll trust me, just trust me and see what I will do. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when we have to face that inner editor and go to prayer and just say, what would you have me do, Lord? This is insurmountable. I don't get it. And this voice is telling me, it'll never happen. And people are saying to me, you know, it's crazy. It'll never happen. You're not good enough. You can't do it.
Yeah. That's the, you know, you talk about the devil and the angel on the shoulders and that inner editor. We talked about the what if questions. That's what the devil's playing. He goes, well, what if it doesn't work?
Ooh. You know?
And my, when I'm trying to motivate the team to do something, the question I always asked was, what is the worst case scenario? And if we're okay with that, let's implement the plan, because anything above that is success, right? What's the worst case scenario?
You were in the military.
Yeah.
The worst case is you're all dead.
I was in the cavalry. We're on the front lines. We have a mission to do, right? What's the worst case scenario? Yeah, it's not going to work out the way we want. Okay, that goes with the territory. We accepted that as that's a possibility. So since we have that all ironed out, you know, anything above that is success, right? So implement the plan, go with the plan, execute the plan, you know.
That's right. That's what the disciples did too.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They said, let's go. We'll go with him to Jerusalem. We'll die there too. You know, type thing. Let's go. You know, exactly.
Well, you know, that leads me to one of the next principles, which is be thankful because you have what you need.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And, that's right. You know, a lot of people ask me about that when I've talked about the principles, because it's the same principles for the other book, but this one is really for the leaders. But the principle is the same. And of course, in improv, it's a fictional world. So nobody's really dying. Mm-hmm. And we're not really practicing how to keep people from dying. That's not the point of exercises. If we are free in our mind to be grateful for the time that we have, for the relationships that we're building, for the communication that we're opening up, this circular communication where it's not just one way, we're open to these what ifs. We're open to new ideas, what even seems crazy. Mm-hmm. It's we realize that within us, in the fictional world, we always have what we need. And then how interesting is that? Mm-hmm. That in the real world, that often is what happens.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you have, you know, when I was given an assignment, I had a mission to accomplish. So I go back, brief the team on not just what our mission is, but what the adjacent units are doing and all that. So we knew we were all going to the same direction and stuff. And then I say, okay, you team A do this, team B do this, team C do this, and we'll get all done. Do you know what your mission is? That's a yes or no question. Right? And if they say, yes, tell me what it is, you know, because in your book, the reason I thought about that, because in your book, you have a section, avoid yes or no questions. So many leaders will get in the position, blah, 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 blah. You know what to do? Yep. All right. Do it. And then they turn around and walk away, you know, and they're like, oh, okay. How do I do that?
It's true. Yes or no questions don't invite intellectual inquiry.
Right.
They Amen. Don't invite communication. They're like you just had the example. You may be left with a freakish sense of fear after you, you know.
Well, the leader goes away and says, okay, everybody knows what they got to do. And the subordinate is like, oh, God, I don't know what to do.
And how am I going to do it?
Yeah.
Right.
And as I speak at some leadership conferences and stuff, and I use that example, you know, that you can't just say, do this and walk away. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Have them repeat back to you, what is your mission? What is it you're going to do? And the example I'll use is, I need this report by 5 o'clock. And it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I need this report done by 5 o'clock. You got any questions? Nope. Go do it. All right. And they walk out like, I don't even know where to get the data for this. You know, that could have been a question, you know?
Yeah.
Instead, you check with them about 2 o'clock. Hey, how's that report done? I'm having a hard time getting the financial numbers together. I don't know. Well, did you talk to Frank in accounting? Oh, and call up, you know? But if you gave them that answer, that would be not right. And the way I explain for people to do this is, you have a question? Nope. Okay, where are you going to get the data from? Not really sure. I have to go through the files and stuff. Okay, you need financial data. Where would be a good place to get financial data? Accounting? That's a good idea. Okay, go to the accounting, find out. You know, that way they've come up with the response. They've come up with the idea. Give them ownership of it, even though you kind of directed them towards that area. You
know? Yes.
And next time you give them this assignment, where are they going to go? The county, because they already thought of that idea. But you just can't say go without making sure they know where they're going. Yeah, but we're getting ready to run out of time, but I wanted to circle all the way back to the section where you have treat others like you want to be treated. That goes back to the golden rule that we've been talking about from the Bible. It's amazing how accurate biblical principles could be applied across all aspects of life, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, when I put that in, I was afraid the editor was going to, or the publisher or somebody was going to say, well, that's a little preachy. But you know what? There's so many things. If you look at even the Ten Commandments, I mean, our whole society is basically on, you know, the moral principles of that. And if you take that away, I mean, it's so simple. And how often we forget that as a leader, if we wouldn't want anybody to just walk by and not even, you know, look and smile or, you know, acknowledge that you're there, or have it so that you couldn't be communicated with. And how many companies have that understanding? And I can remember in my many years in academia or healthcare, I remember at one point there was a leader at the university who was so wonderful, because you knew that she walked around with a little pad or a clipboard, and wherever she was going to write a note. If you said something to her, I mean, she just had it there, and she had it. Well, that later it was a cell phone, but you know, she was making notes on things that you said. And then a new leader came in and the door was closed. And I remember running in one day and her secretary said to me, come in my office. And she said, so-and-so, the previous great leader, has left the building. She's not here anymore. And I said, oh? She goes, the door is closed. You'll need an appointment. Okay, great. When's the next appointment? 2 weeks from now. Well, I needed an answer then.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big deal. It could have been a 2-minute conversation. Yep. But if you're an inaccessible leader, what does that tell the people that you're trying to be a beacon of understanding for?
Exactly. Yeah. There used to be a saying way back when I was taking business classes, management by walking around.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, you can't manage from behind a desk. You got to be out there with the people. And I think that's one reason why my military success was so great, because I wanted to be in the trenches. I didn't want to be back, you know, 2 kilometers back in a big tent with a big map. Okay, everybody's over here. I wanted to be up front. And I think that's why George Patton was so successful, because he was always up on the front. You know, there's a general, you can't be up here. It's the front lines. A general needs to be leading from the front, you know, type thing. But that's why his guys loved him, because he wasn't back there, hurry, go that way. He was up front seeing what was going on, where the problems were.
Exactly.
Candy, your book, Improv to Improve Your Leadership Team, will be released in April 2023. Are you taking pre-orders or anything like that yet?
Absolutely. They can go to my website. I have two of them, but the one for the improv books is candycampbell.com. Okay. And it's /new book. And they can sign up for an autographed copy.
Amen.
And as soon as it comes out, I'll get a hold of them, and you don't have to pay anything up front. Because again, it's going to be through the publisher, but they haven't produced a landing page yet. So I decided, people have been asking. I just do it.
Amen. Now, is this being signed by Candy Campbell or Florence Nightingale?
Yeah, even the Florence Nightingale book is signed by me.
Amen. Because that's on there too.
Ah, right? Yeah, actually it is. Amen. And if people want to see video clips or testimonials about the show.
Awesome. Yeah, the show is awesome.
Thank you.
I loved it.
they could go to Florence Nightingale Live, LIVE.com.
Amen.
And there's more on there.
Amen. I'll put links all this in the show notes. Folks, as you can see, when we start looking at managing your company from a perspective of improv, not comedy per se, but just dealing with the situations as they arise and then handle the issues, but have fun doing it. Your business can't help but grow. And your employees will love their work environment more, and you'll see this meaning less turnover. That means everyone wins, because every time someone leaves, you got money on training them and all that stuff that goes into it. So I urge you to drop down the show notes below. Reach out to Dr. Candace Campbell. Go visit her website. You'll be amazed at the things she has on there to help you. She helps you to grow. Praise God. Be sure to order a new book, Improv to Improve Your Leadership Team. And if you're in the New York City area, even if you're not, take a train in and go see your performance. Candy, I'm so blessed to be able to help you.
That is
so awesome. That is so awesome. And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back on the program and catch us up on everything you're doing. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you so much.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Dr. Candace Campbell and myself, Pastor Bob, remind you to be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.